In general, 8 months from the perspective of football is a very short period of time. However, for the San Diego Wave FC, it embodied the rise and fall of a team that was 8 months ago lifting a trophy in the NWSL Shield and now finds themselves in the bottom of the table. In this episode, we will not only talk about why the Wave are performing so poorly on the pitch this season, but highlight everything that's happened in the last 8 months that has affected this team and honestly has just caused the catastrophic performances that we've seen on the pitch so far. Decision day was what it took for the San Diego Wave to win the Shield. In a match against Racing Louisville FC at Snapdragon Stadium, the side prevailed with a victory which ultimately got them over the line in getting the title, beating out the Portland Thorns on points. That day was monumentous for the Wave as it was not only their first big trophy as a club, but also a sign of progression. If you look at their first season in the National Women's Soccer League, they had a very respectable year, but they weren't able to get any trophies, and so building on that fact was a very good, positive sign for the Wave. They were able to obviously get that victory under their belt, and now they moved into the postseason with the bye, which they used to their advantage in some ways, but they really didn't in other ways. With an international break separating the offseason for the last few seasons, it's been a very odd transition period in that there's not really a lot of time to prepare at the club level for playoff matches, which I think is important to acknowledge due to the fact that these are the most important games of the year for these NWSL teams, and for most of the time they're without their best players for the preparating time that they have as a club. And that might have affected the Wave, considering the numerous amount of international players that they have. But when you look at the team overall, the thing that's the most concerning to me is nothing really changed in a player standpoint going into this season, which we'll get into a little bit later. Just a tactical standpoint was really the biggest problem. And against the Seattle Reign, they weren't the weaker team. The Reign dominated the match, of course, but it never really looked like the Reign were going to prevail. It felt like the game was just going to continue going on and be like that chess match performance that we've seen from this Wave side many, many different times. And to be fair, that was kind of what we witnessed. But at the end of the day, a cross from Veronica Latsko that kind of was a shot at the same time found the back corner and the Wave lost that match. So, okay, from the Wave's perspective, it's your second season. You're doing really good. You've made the postseason 2 years in a row, and you're really finding your identity. So all looks well on the surface. But in reality, the last few years of the Wave's existence was not full of tactical brilliance and genius. And rather, it was merely individual play and star power, which was the reason why they were so successful, which may not seem like a bad thing, and it's not, as long as you're able to get the wins on board. But if you can't get those wins, then that's where the problems really come, and that's what we saw this offseason. So, obviously, they lose in the semifinals. The Wave are disappointed, but nevertheless, they still have something to build on, something to work for, and that's when the offseason comes in, which is where things get a little bit crazy, and you'll understand why I talk about this, because it affects how they play on the pitch this year. Even though the beginning of the offseason was not chaotic for the Wave, the expansion draft really brought the problem, not just for them, but for many franchises in the NWSL. For reference, when the San Diego Wave entered the league as an expansion team, they obviously had to be very, very familiar with the expansion draft protocol, which had shifted between the time that they entered the league and between when the Utah Royals and BFC are entering. So just to give the context there, the Wave trades Kaylee Real to Utah Royals, not the surprising move of the offseason, and it does make a lot of sense considering the fact that the Wave boasts 2 U.S. Women's National Team center backs, which is the position that Real plays. So with a player of Real's quality, and this happens a lot of time in sports during expansion, when there's competition between places, depth gets slashed in a lot of ways due to that fact. And what happens here is obviously a top quality player like Real just can't get the minutes at the Wave with the new player in her position coming back. In that, in this case, it's Abby Dahlkemper. It's just the competition is too much and one player needs minutes and they can't get them. So it makes sense why she leaves the Southern California side in this situation. But the problem isn't that she is the only player that leaves. The problem is a big part of the core group that made the Wave, if that makes any sense, also follows suit. So later in the offseason, players that are top players on this team, not just in atmospherical ways, but just people who have so much importance to the team leave. A Taylor Flint is someone who has a lot of potential, and the Wave obviously bring her up after she had such a great partnership formed with Alex Morgan when they played together on the Orlando Pride. It was expected that she would be a big player that could contribute alongside that of that midfield, and she did that for the first few years, but that kind of progress in a lot of ways was quite frankly halted due to the fact that the development and partnerships were really affected. And I think when we talk about this offseason, that's one thing that I think is really important to mention due to the fact that this team really seemed to lack a lot of connection on the pitch. Nevertheless, they did make other moves in this offseason to compensate for that. They obviously re-signed a lot of key players like Amir Ali, who is going to be in the restricted free agents window. They got Mackenzie Doniak re-signed, Kristen Westfeldt re-signed, Kira Caruso re-signed, Emily Van Egmond. So lots of key players re-signed. But the thing that's crazy is that they also add so much that's already top quality team. They add Elise Bennett, they add Savannah McCaskill, they add Caitlin Torpy, they add Hillary Beale, they add Hannah Lundqvist. They add Kimi Asensio. So this is a team that was already very, very, very talented. And they had Maya Jones as well. I'm just like reading my planning sheet and forgetting Caitlin Torpy. So there's so much talent coming into this already like loaded team. And the question isn't at this point who is going to be the people who will make this team impactful. It's how are we going to fit all of these crazy good players on the field at the same time. However, no matter the numerous combinations that Casey Stoney continues to try, it looks like a dysfunctional mess. The Wave start off the season, though, with this new team playing Gotham in the Challenge Cup, and they do prevail 1-0 over a Gotham FC side, which is, to be fair, quite weak, if you have to be honest. Gotham really didn't have lots of their talents on the pitch. They had so many players that were not typically ones who would start on our team. We didn't have players like Lavelle ready for this game. We had so many players that got subbed in late in the match that were so impactful for us this whole season so far that we've seen, like Stevens, Dunn, Sonnet, and Nyswonger. So to be fair, I don't think this match could have ever been really quantifiable in this relationship between these two teams. But nevertheless, they continue to get the victory and over this Gotham side, which is who they've dominated over the course of the history of the team, which is a very positive sign for the Wave. We knew there was a lot of transition, but at the end of the day, they still had this same persona of a team that's really one to beat. And that's something that I think this side has really done a good job to keep. However, in their next few matches, they lose against the Current, and they really just don't prevail and find any sense of dominance. Their first four matches this season, they win one barely, 1-0 over a fellow bottom table side. They lose another one, and then they tie another match. So going into the beginning of the season, they're really struggling to find any way around the pitch. They have 4 points in out of the possible 12 that they could have gotten, so they're clearly not finding results on the pitch, but nevertheless, you'd expect this side to turn it around, right? Well, it kind of just gets worse, even though they do end up beating their fellow California side in Bay FC. The team really just looks dysfunctional as a whole overall, and considering the talent that the roster has, you didn't expect the preceding results which occur, which is continuous losses and bad draws, and eventually it just really looks bad as a table perspective, and the team really struggles to get goals in the score sheet, and overall it just really is not the kind of performance that you'd want to see the Wave have. However, there's one storyline which I intentionally left out for comedic and dramatic purposes. They did acquire Mexican national team star forward in Maria Sanchez in a big trade from Houston Dash. Obviously, the whole saga was very well followed by a lot of fans from the league, which I presume you are included in that group. And she was a player who was touted by many NWSL teams. And overall, the Wave was one team that definitely I had on my radar. She was a player I thought that the team could have gotten in free agency. It sounds like from what Casey Stoney was saying, they went after her. But due to the restricted free agency rules, the Houston Dash just re-signed her and matched the offer that the Wave made. However, the Wave did not stop there. They continued pushing to get Sanchez in the team, and they ended up doing so. She's been fine for the Wave. I mean, she's not a bad player. There's no putting that doubt, like, out there. I'm not trying to say that she's not very talented, because she is, but I just don't really see how she's worked with the system at all. If you look at the matches she's played with the Wave, they've really been bad, is my best way of saying that. And I talked about this match from yesterday as I'm recording this, which I think is my best way of analyzing it due to the fact that I was actually present. And the Wave as a whole looked horrific. It was hard to watch. They were dysfunctional. It was a mess. And it begged the question, how could a team with this much talent be managed and run this poorly? They have no tactics. They have no plan. They don't know how to get the ball in the back of the net. 11 goals in 13 games. It's amateur hour, it felt like yesterday. And as a Gotham fan, it was, I mean, quite nice, obviously, to have a match of that quality where we were very dominant throughout the match as a whole. But when you look at that team the Wave put out, there's a lot of problems, and I want to talk about them quickly. Now that we've gotten through the offseason, we know the Wave made so many big moves, but for some reason, it's just not clicking on the field. Obviously, Sheridan's an amazing keeper, but every top-quality keeper needs players in front of her that can defend, and quite frankly, the Wave do not have that. The left side of their defense is atrocious. To clarify, does not mean I'm throwing shade at Naomi Girma, who is one of the best defenders in the league, but her match yesterday was quite bad. Even though she actually played well statistically, 88% passing, which is not bad for a center back at all, as a whole, the Wave looked really bad on the field. And I'll explain why in a minute. But first and foremost, Gotham was just able to do whatever they wanted with the ball. And I think that's been a trend that we've noticed all year long. When you have a side of that much top quality, you'd expect the team to dominate the game. You'd expect them to insert their style onto the pitch. And quite frankly, for the Wave, we haven't seen that. It feels like every single game there's something new. And that lack of consistency, technically, and fluidity is not fun for fans to watch, obviously, but it's also very probably hard for players to play like that and not have that consistency, which is needed, and that system and formation and style. As a player, you need to know what your team's doing, and honestly, it looks like they don't. In the build-up, they look horrible. I'll just say this, Gotham wasn't even pressing them hard at all. We were playing so reluctant, which I thought was funny. It was almost like, we know you're going to mess the ball up anyway and give it up. But the Wave did that. And to be fair, Gotham's game plan worked brilliantly to expose the clear weaknesses that were displayed time and time again. Looking at this match yesterday, I really thought the worst part about the Wave's team was their laziness defensively. And I'm going to shout out a few names. I thought the left side of Maria Sanchez, Emily Van Eijkman, and Kristen McNabb did an horrendous job. Crystal Dunn was bullying them all evening long. I didn't see enough fans talking about this, which is why I wanted to bring it up. And the fact that the Wave really just lets teams just, like, pass around. I thought it was so funny that Gotham was not willing to just kick it off them for a corner kick, because they could have easily done that numerous times. The Wave looked like they were tired. Don't know how when they were tired. I guess it's a midweek game, but Gotham had a significantly longer injury report than them, had a lot of our deeper players from the depth chart in that match, and we still looked like we didn't lose a step, and they were, you know, just really, like, sad to watch, honestly, from a Wave perspective. It was hard to, like, see how they were a team, if that makes any sense. It looked like a collection of talented players. But, for instance, someone like Jaden Shaw, you couldn't tell she was in the game yesterday. We just took the ball away from her every time we got the ball. She did 0% successful dribbling percentage. Only 50% of her long balls were accurate. It looks like Gotham was just cutting her off every time she got the ball, which is excellent from us. And same with Maria Sanchez. She rarely touched the ball at all. She didn't get any touches on it in dominant and dangerous areas, which is where you'd love to see her get in those positions as a Wave fan. But overall, it just looks like they had no tactical, like, idea of what they were going to do to stop this Gotham team. And I find it odd due to the fact that they have such an explosive front four, I guess, it with the Caruso up top in the midfield of Jones, Shaw, and Sanchez. You'd think that they would be more willing to press, and it felt like they were just lying so deep, but they weren't even putting any pressure on the ball when it got back there. Dunn wasn't the only one who was having a field day there. Someone like a Yasmin Ryan, a Delaney Sheehan, they never got the ball taken away from them. They just continued to do whatever they want with it. And I think when you're a team of the Wave who has such high standards to get into the playoffs, supposedly, you can't have that level of arrogance to not feel the willingness to step up and defend, because the reality is Gotham is a very good team. The teams that they've lost to this year are not all very good teams. You look at Bay FC, you look at Seattle Reign, those are both teams that the Wave have lost to, and they lost in quite pathetic waves. And I'm not trying to diss the Wave at all here, because I do think this team is so much better than what we're seeing. But at the end of the day, if you haven't won in your last five matches, it's hard to get behind the team and really think about this team having postseason potential. When you're in 10th place in the table, you get less than a goal every game, and you have an okay defense, but they don't really ever catapult an offensive performance. A defense in modern football isn't just about the stopping of the other team scoring, it's also about building the offense. And I think for the Waves team, which has so many good players in possession, someone like Kristen McNabb is someone who I feel like has had such good performances recently, really, really struggled yesterday. It was really hard to watch her play in that match. She looked so out of the level of what this game had in store for her. And even Hannah Lundqvist, who's someone who has done okay this year, I guess, coming in from a broad league, it's hard to adjust. This is one of her weaker performances of the year, in my opinion. So when you look at this team, it begs the question of, how can we rebuild? How can we not even just bringing players in? When people say rebuild, it so often signifies we have to like completely reform the system. But maybe it's not that the system, the problem in the system is the players, it's the tactics. And it begs the question of whether Casey Stoney should still be the coach of this team. And I have only the highest of regards that I've heard from players about her from previous clubs like Manchester United. But at the end of the day, her tactics are not working in the National Women's Soccer League style football. She has so many talented players at her disposal that look lost. It's like weapons that just are in the back pocket but just stay there. They never get utilized. They're just a nuance at this point. If this team is not able to produce on the pitch, then questions beg to be asked of the manager. And you have to wonder, how long is it going to be till she loses her job at this team? Because she is a top quality manager, yes, but at the end of the day, if a team isn't getting results, there really should be no question of whether the coach needs to change something. And if those changes don't matter at all and don't change the output on the pitch, then it looks like the team needs a new fresh start, and that will come from a new manager. Overall, this Wave team has a lot of bright pieces, but I like to think of a soccer team as a puzzle. Every piece might be shiny and look great on the outside, and that doesn't mean that it's bad. It just means that the pieces may not have the right edges to fit together. And as a manager, you need to figure out and experiment with what pieces will work best of each other. Even if they don't fit perfectly at first, you just gotta push them together and really like find a way for this puzzle to fit. And I think for the Wave, they have so many pieces that are there. It's like a stack of pieces of so many talented players, but at the moment, it's just that. It's a stack of random players who don't look like a team at all. And when you look at Gotham FC, for instance, their competitors, and I'm not just saying this with our bias, every single player on our team buys into the system, plays in the system, and I have no doubt that these players are invested in the side. It just looks, to be honest, like a lot of them don't want to be on this team, which is really funny when you think about how the Wave is like such a good franchise, such an amazing market. And I think for the San Diego team, what the real question needs to be is, how can we just get better every single game? At the end of the day, they're not going to fix these problems overnight. These are drastic problems. Not having an offense that can score is a very big problem, especially when you have all these talented players. But at the end of the day, they have all these talented pieces. It's now up to Casey Stoney and up to the general manager and the front office to think, number one, have we given Casey enough time to build these pieces into a collective group? And if so, is she the right manager to lead this team forward? And I honestly think either answer would be fine. But if they do go for the option that keeps Casey in San Diego, she needs to start producing a side that will get wins on the pitch. And I think at the end of the day, it shows how the Wave aren't just a collective of very talented players. It needs to be a situation where they can get these wins on the table, and that'll start from more chemistry, better partnerships, finally showing everyone that these players know each other off the pitch. It feels like they're just disconnected. They have no cohesiveness, and that needs to be changed if the Wave wants to bounce up into the playoff spot. But considering the large infield, they're only two places out, and they're only 1 point out of the playoff line, so even though they're playing very bad, they can just build their way up and make it into the playoffs, because like we saw with Gotham, all you gotta do is make it there and magic will happen. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Women's Soccer Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as we talk about all the teams in the NWSL and so much more. To ensure that you never miss a single episode of our podcast, please follow us wherever you get our podcasts, as we are available on all podcasting platforms and on Instagram at the Women's Soccer Podcast with underscores in between each word. Thank you so much for tuning in, and peace out from your host, LDG. Bye! See you next time!